The population in Adams County has really grown since I first came here in 1982. It's really a different county from what it was then. And there's just so much more to do in Adams County than there ever was before. We're not like the city that never sleeps, New York. But if you wanted to, you could find something to do every day, every evening, sports events, all kinds of theater, and just all kinds of things happening. You can keep busy 18 hours a day if you wanted to. And then in addition to that, we can be connected with our Twitter and with our Facebook and our Instagram and our cell phones and our texting and our Snapchat. And we can be connected by talking with one another and being with one another. And we can stay busy with just people all around us. Yet, many are really lonely. Really lonely. You say, well, people have always been lonely. And that's probably true. But statistics, recent national research shows that 40% of adults say they are lonely. 40%, 4 in 10. You could just, 1, 2, 3, 4, count to 10, 4 out of 10 would say they're lonely. But in 1980, it was 20%. So we're twice as lonely as we were. Even though there are more people, even though there are more activities, even though there are more ways to stay connected, we're lonelier than we've been in times past. Well, that's more than just emotional problem. Loneliness is actually bad for our health. You know that? I mean, really bad. It's got twice the health risk of obesity. You know, the doctors always say you're too fat. You know, your life is being shortened because you've got too much weight. Loneliness has twice the health risk of obesity. Wow. And it's about the same health risk as smoking. So smoking's bad for you. Being lonely, about the same. Amazing, isn't it? Social isolation disrupts our sleep. It compromises our immune system. It leads to inflammatory diseases. Strange. Contributes to type 2 diabetes. Heart disease. Who would think that being lonely would do all that? And isolated elderly persons are twice as likely to die prematurely as those who are not lonely. So loneliness is increasing in our time, even though we have that much more opportunities to connect, and it's deadly to be isolated and alone. British actor Stephen Fry wrote about his experience of attempting suicide. Obviously, he failed, or he wouldn't be writing about it. And he said that he had lots of people that knew him, lots of people that he would call friends, people that reached out to him, wanted to have social contacts with him, yet he was overwhelmed by depression, so much so that he attempted to end his life. He concluded at the end of the piece he had written, "In the end, loneliness is the most terrible and contradictory of my problems. Surrounded by people, supposedly friends, connected in a lot of ways, but desperately lonely." I'm not going to have a show of hands, but if I were to do that and I were to say, please lift up your hands and tell me if you've been lonely this past week, there would be a number of hands. The good news is God wants a relationship with us. Now, generically, that's always true. You know, God has a church. God wants us to be a family. And that's all really important. But I'm talking about person-to-person relationship. one-on-one. God wants us to know that he loves us and that in him we are never alone. Never. And to make this point, we're going to walk briefly through one of the most beautiful psalms, Psalm 139. Great psalm. So many memorable little sections in it. We'll begin at the beginning. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down, and you're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. I mean, God knows what we're going to say before we even say it, right? You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. In other words, God is with us, for us, to find us, puts his hand on us. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. God knows you. God knows you. A lot of times we don't know ourselves. We know ourselves better than anybody else knows us, but God knows us even in ways that we don't know ourselves. Just drink that in. We're not talking generically about everybody. God knows everybody. We're not talking about just the church. God loves the church. We're not talking about just tribes and families. No, we're talking about you. God knows you, me. Maybe in a room full of familiar strangers. That's actually a common experience. You're with people. Maybe you know them by name. Maybe they know you a little bit. But the reality is they might know a lot about you and be familiar with you, but they don't really know you. And the fear that we have is this, is if you really knew me, you probably wouldn't accept me. If you really knew me, you probably wouldn't love me. In fact, I'm ashamed for you to really know me. Because if you really knew me, then you would know really just how messed up I am. But God really knows us. He knows when we get up in the morning. He knows what our dreams are, even when we can't remember our own dreams. He knows our anxieties and our sorrows and our fears. It says he's familiar with your ways. He knows all of our little habits and idiosyncrasies. He knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your successes and he knows your failures and loves you just the same. One of the core principles in Celebrate Recovery, it's the group that we have on Wednesday nights, and just want to invite all of you, if you want to be part of something that can really help you grow. We meet Wednesday nights. It's a confidential, anonymous group, and there we deal with our hurts and our hang-ups and our habits in a confidential and supportive environment. And one of the keys to that working is being able to self-disclose, to be honest, to let others inside so that we are really knowing each other, not merely as familiar strangers, but as friends and brothers and sisters together. And we're growing a lot in that. And we've got a long way to go. But the beginning of that is to know that God knows us and loves us just the same. We don't have to hide. And truthfully, when it comes to God, we can't. because he knows our thoughts from afar and he knows our words before we even say them. So we can be open and honest with God, and in the right environment, we can learn to be open and honest with one another and realize that even though I have issues, I can still be loved. And even though you have issues, you can still be loved. And you are. God knows you. Let's keep going. Psalm 139, 7 to 12. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I go make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise in the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand, that's the strong hand, will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. So God knows us, but God is also with us. Whether we're on the heights or in the valley, no matter where we go, no matter what our circumstance, God is with us, and God was there before we got there. And God will still be there when we leave. Because there's nowhere we can go where we can flee from the presence of God. You and I are never alone. Never. Some are afraid, talked to many in this congregation over the years, to travel to the big cities. Big cities scare them, the traffic and all that. You go to the big city, God is there. Some are frightened to go to the doctor. Maybe it's the procedure itself. Maybe it's the fear of what you might discover. Maybe it's the thought of having to pay the bill. But you're afraid to go to the doctor, but God is there. Some are anxious about new schools, new jobs, new neighborhoods, wherever you go. God is there already. Always. If having your best day in the world, everything's happy land, God is there. Having the worst day of your life, God is there too. John Wesley, one of the greatest church leaders of the 18th century, and his influence is still with us, even in this movement, which is a Wesleyan movement, flows out of his theology and work. He preached more than 40,000 sermons and touched millions of lives and continues to touch them through his life and teachings. And I've shared this with you before, but I still love it. As he lay dying, you know what he said to those around him. Best of all, God is with us. Best of all, God is that. Amen. Even on your deathbed, God is with you. Never alone. If you recognize that, can spend time with the Lord, focus on the Lord, don't have to be lonely. Not anywhere, not any time. Continuing on, verses 13 to 16. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that. Full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God made you. So God knows you. God is with you. God made you. We are not cosmic accidents. We're not the product of random events. We are unique persons, specially made by God, specially created in the image of God so that we could have a relationship with God. Formed by God's own hand. And God created us to love us and to have a relationship with us. And even before he formed us in the womb, he had plans for us. Before you were formed in the womb. The old debate, when does life begin? Well, you know, viability right around 22 weeks. Well, it begins at conception. Well, it begins at implantation when the fetus implants. Well, no, not exactly. Before you were formed in the womb, God had plans for you. He said to Jeremiah, before I formed you, I knew you. How tragic it is to feel lonely when the one who uniquely made us, who was always with us, is right here. But we wander. We get distracted. We get burdened down. We chase all kinds of little empty pursuits, and we miss the greatest wonder and blessing of all, which is God's presence. It's our presence with the one who uniquely made us. There is only one you. And that you, God made. So that you could be loved. So that you could have an intimate, meaningful relationship with him on this earth and always. And when we find ourselves ignoring God or drifting from God or not being near to God, not only are we missing God, but God is missing us. Because we were made in his image to be in relationship with him. Verses 17 and 18. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. So God amazes you. Again, I know that God amazes you in all the cosmic wonders, right? But God amazes you with this thought. He knows you. He loves you. He made you. He wants to be with you. Let those truths sink in. A lot of people travel. How many of you like to travel? Yeah? Go a long way, see the Grand Canyon, the Tetons, Yellowstone, Mount Washington, if you can stand the cold, Niagara Falls, all the wonders of nature. Beautiful stuff. But you're more valuable to God than all of those. They are not eternal. You are. Jesus did not send his, God did not send Jesus to die for Mount Washington. God sent Jesus to die for you and me. God has not prepared a place for the Mississippi, but he has prepared a place through Christ for you and for me. So do not measure your worth by a faulty yardstick. Well, you know, I'm really not that pretty. I'm really not that smart. Really not that good at anything. Or the converse, I'm so awesome, I'm so wonderful, I can do this, I can do that. Do not measure your worth by what you can or cannot do. Do not measure your worth by the size of your waist. Do not measure your worth by the amount of hair you do or do not have. Your worth is set. God made you. God loves you. Be amazed. You were more valuable than the Grand Canyon and all the pools of Yellowstone and the Himalayas. Think about that. What a tragedy to be depressed because you're lonely when the God who made you to enjoy him. Wow, now we turn a corner in the psalm. Maybe this is a mistake. Maybe it shouldn't be there, some might say. Verses 19 to 22. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Whoa, where'd that come from? He's amazed by God's presence and God's love, and God knows him, and he's, you know, had plans for him, and he's fearfully and wonderfully made, and then he comes out with, bah, you know. God vindicates you. David had a lot of rough years. And from the time that he was declared king, it took him decades to actually become king. And there were many who sought to kill him, and he fled, and he hid in caves, and he had a lot of rough years where his enemies mistreated him. And he really was in need of vindication. But if that's all you see there, then you're not seeing what's really there. David's words are not selfish, and they are not hateful. David was a warrior for God. And David was concerned not for those who hated him, but for those who hated the Lord. This wonderful Lord who knows him. This wonderful Lord who's always with him. This wonderful Lord who made him and had plans and purposes for him. This wonderful Lord whose presence amazed him. He could not fathom that God would have enemies, that people that would hate God. And as a king, I hate them who hate you. This was David's way of saying, Lord, I'm with you. I'm with you. And in time, God, David was vindicated. His throne was established. And Jesus reigns on the throne of David forever and ever and ever. So even with David's antipathy about being a warrior for God and hiding in caves and all that. He wanted to be God's person. So it does fit there, but in a very strange way. We don't think like that today. Verses 23 to 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So David is appealing to God that God would search him, and he would know himself through the God search. Because as I said earlier, God knows us better than we know ourselves. So the Lord searches and transforms you. And that's a good thing. The Lord does the diagnostics and the Lord does the surgery. We grow. So Lord, search me. Investigate my conduct. Examine my heart. Put me to the test. Analyze my thoughts. Help me to see who I really am. Lord, what makes me tick? What motivates me? What frightens me? What tempts me? What makes me sad? What makes me angry? What brings me joy? Why do I feel alone? Why do I feel unloved? Why do I feel forsaken? How much do I really love you? How selfish am I? How am I investing my life? How am I growing? How am I using my gifts for you? Lord, search me. Know me. Help me to know myself, that I can be transformed, become the person that you made me to be, that I might walk with you and love you and live with you and honor you and glorify you, that I might rise above my loneliness and rise above my brokenness and have healing for my hurts and live for you in a way that I bring light and hope and love to others. Search me, Lord. Know me. Test me. Transform me. May I become all that you want me to be. And I know that's only possible as I live in relationship with you. When we honestly acknowledge who we are, when God helps us to see who we are within, and we realize that despite our failings, despite our flaws, God loves us, and God still values us more than he values the sun and the moon, then we're ready to grow, to be transformed, to change, to really love. Change my heart. Purify my motives. Help me to love you with all my being. Help me to love others as I love myself. Help me to stand up for you, for truth. Help me to share your love with others. May I live every day in the sunshine. I was going to say of your love, but it's of your presence, because that's another song. The sunshine. You got to be old to know that song. The sunshine of your presence. There are more people in Adams County than ever before. There are more activities. There are more ways to be connected. There are more distractions than there ever have been. And you can do all that and still be a familiar stranger and still be alone. Let God love you. Let God into your heart. Focus on Jesus who gave himself for you. Focus on Jesus who rose from the dead that you need not fear death. Focus on Jesus who has prepared a place for you in glory. Focus on the grace of God that loves you and accepts you as you are. Take the time to meditate, to pray, to worship. Take the time to be in growth group with other believers. Take the time to let the love of God sink in all the way. And you won't be lonely anymore. How could you be when your Creator is right within you and right around you and knows you as He does? So let God love you and be amazed. I've messed up so many times. I fail in so many ways. And God still loves me. That's amazing. It's amazing. So God made you and longs for you to draw closer to Him. Let Him love you. Let Him love you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.